It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, March 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, the security world is having some heated conversation around a large number of documents released by WikiLeaks. Among other things, the documents appear to reveal a number of ways that the CIA may be using previously unknown vulnerabilities to do everything from spy on people through smart televisions to circumvent secure and encrypted messaging apps by breaking into a user's device. Worth noting here that the security holes, known as zero-day vulnerabilities, are still being evaluated by researchers. Nonetheless, it is all worth discussing with security expert, founder, and CEO of the company Anatrope, Tiffany Rad. Tiffany, how is the security industry reacting to this news?
A lot of people in the cybersecurity industry, I mean, our jobs are to do penetration testing and to test things to see if we can get into pieces of software, we can get into embedded systems and chips. And so a lot of us know that nothing is impenetrable. What is interesting is that some of the apps that a lot of us in the security industry use as well, either it's WhatsApp or it's Signal, that this might be compromised if these documents turned out to be authentic.
The suggestion here seems to be that it's at the device level, not the app level, right?
So far it does, but we're not sure about that yet. They've made a list of different types of applications that they know that they can get into, and as well as like a Samsung TV was mentioned. But we don't know that much yet because these documents were just released.
The CIA is focused overseas. We would presume that maybe some of the same tools that the CIA is using potentially are also available to the FBI. What should U.S. users take away from this latest information?
The tools that were discussed in the documents that have been widely reported by the media now are what we call zero days in the security industry. And what that means is it's a tool or piece of malware, so to speak, that the manufacturer does not know about. And to many of us in the security industry, I'm not surprised by this. The CIA has authority and authorization to operate overseas. And digital weapons is another way to call some zero days that they create or purchase in the U.S., it's not illegal. It's not an illegal market for you or I to create something that's a zero day. Now, if we know we're selling it to a foreign government that has interest against the U.S., that's when it becomes illegal. But just the possession and generation of these tools, and truly, we look at these as being tools in the security industry, it isn't illegal to possess. So this part of the document didn't surprise me very much.
This is really interesting. This is a market that people don't really talk about that much, but it is a market that exists in the U.S. And as long as you're selling it to the right entity, you can make good money as a security researcher in the U.S. finding these zero days.
Yes, and truly this is a tool that is built and they are recruiting from security conferences. And the market for these tools is very good.
Tiffany Rad is a security expert and the CEO and founder of Anatrope. Tiffany, thank you very much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
This week, a court in Germany has sided with Facebook in a case of defamation brought by a Syrian refugee named Anas Modamani. A photo of Modamani taking a selfie with German Chancellor Angela Merkel went viral on Facebook, and then it went the bad kind of viral. People suggested he was a terrorist and a criminal when, in fact, he was not. Modamani wanted Facebook to do the work of removing the fake news being spread. Damian McGinnis is in the Berlin Bureau for our partner, the BBC. Damian, thanks for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, Ben.
So what did the court find?
Well, the court rejected that injunction against Facebook because although the judges accepted that this was a case of illegal defamation of character and expressed sympathy for this young man, the court said that actually Facebook was neither, as they put it, a perpetrator nor a participant. And that because Facebook did not claim these libelous statements itself about the young man, it therefore should not have to take the responsibility to preemptively block the illegal content.
Germany, I know, is preparing legislation to force Facebook to remove hate speech from its web pages within 24 hours. If that law is passed, could that impact this case?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the government is looking at various different laws the authorities here say Facebook should take a responsibility. But Facebook says that they can't possibly do that either. It would be an impossible thing to do. And it really goes to the question of what is Facebook? Is Facebook itself a news provider? And does it have a responsibility like a newspaper or broadcaster? And can it be sued for illegal content or defamation? Or is it simply hosting other people's content? So it's a wider question about what is the role of Facebook in the media world today, because what this case shows is that press laws and rules that control traditional media don't seem to apply to social media.
Separate from that legislation, what happens next in this case?
Well, the lawyers representing Mr. Modamani have a month to appeal. They haven't made clear yet if they will appeal. Whether Mr. Modamani appeals or not, the debate really goes on, because what we're going to see now is the more powerful that Facebook becomes in the German media and the media in general, the more people are going to ask the question, why does not Facebook have the same sort of responsibility as, say, a traditional broadcaster or a newspaper? Now, the judge, for example, today said they did not think that Facebook was responsible under the law as it stands in this particular case, but did accept that possibly the law needed to change. So that'll be interesting to see if, in fact, the law does change in this case and in similar cases.
Damian McGuinness is correspondent for the BBC, and he is in Berlin. Damian, thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you, Ben.
You can get more from us, as always, at MarketplaceTech.org and Facebook.com/MarketplaceTech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.